Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Thought Josh was going to stay up here with me for a little while there. Exodus chapter 20. That would have been fine. You just have to say amen from the amen corner over here. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to be looking at verse 14 that we're going to be looking at this evening. And this statement I'm about to say may get me into some trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. We may get out of here a little bit earlier tonight. Amen. We'll see what the Lord does in this message. Amen. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. You know, this is a verse that, of course, is clear in Scripture. It's a verse that there's a lot of teaching in Scripture. We're going to go over a lot of those things here this evening. But yet it is something that, in words, it's not disregarded. But in many people's lives, is disregarded. And we're going to be talking about this sin of adultery tonight. Exodus chapter 20, and notice verse 14. It says this, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Speaks for itself there, doesn't it? Thou shalt not. Just like all the other ones. And we will get into the message here right after we pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And Lord, I do pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, just to hear from your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just be on guard against Satan and his tactics. I pray that each and every one of us would just keep a close relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that for those of us that have trusted in you as our personal Savior, that we have the Holy Spirit's power to help us, Lord, through every sin. But Lord, as we talk about this sin of adultery tonight, Lord, we have the Holy Spirit that keeps us from this as well, Lord. But Lord, I do pray that you would do a work in our lives, that you would help us to set up guardrails in our lives when it comes to this and other sins as well. And Lord, do a work in our lives that only you can do. And ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as we've been studying through the commandments here, we have seen them in a way that applies to each and every one of us in one way or another. And as we have seen these, we've seen taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, how you should not do that. And we applied it to all of us in this way when I made this statement that taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain is when his name is on your lips, but his name is not in your heart. When you're talking about God, but you're not praising God for who he is. And of course, something each and every one of us need to watch out for. Also, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We discussed the importance of being in church and giving the whole day to God. And of course, our whole life to God as well. But when it comes to the Sabbath day, not just Sunday morning, but the whole day is the Lord's day. That's what we call it. We call it the Lord's day. And the truth of the matter is, when somebody has a birthday, oftentimes, what happens that day when a kid has a birthday? We give them the attention that day. They got a party that night. Maybe they have a cake for them, whatever it may be. Everybody that day is telling them happy birthday and all of that. When it comes to the Lord's day, there's many people that give them about an hour and a half in the morning, and then the rest of the day is spent doing what they want to do. And we applied it in that way, speaking of that commandment. Also, honor thy father and thy mother. We discussed the truth in honoring them as the spiritual representatives, so to speak, and also how we as individuals should live honorable lives as well. Then, of course, thou shalt not kill. We discussed that. We discussed this truth in abortion, also in suicide, and also that the Bible says in 1 John 3:15 that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. See, it's not just the act of taking someone's life, but it says if you hate your brother, then you're a murderer. And as we look at this commandment tonight, it is one that is just as important as the rest, but one that is skimmed over by most, because when it all comes down to it, we struggle in one way or another. And I'm not only speaking to men tonight, I'm speaking to women as well. Each and every one of us. We have struggled with it. We are struggling with this sin, or we will struggle with this sin because it knows that it is a way to grip a person's heart and pull them away from God. But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can guard ourselves in the matter of adultery. So I'd like to preach to you a message tonight that I've titled, The Sin of Adultery. The Sin of Adultery. So first of all tonight, notice here in this verse, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to talk to you first of all about this. What is adultery? What is it? Well, if you were asked the world, they may have a certain definition, but of course we want to talk about what the Bible says about adultery. Of course, adultery is a sin that is sexual in nature, and apart from popular belief, it is a sin that is not only committed physically, but is a sin that is committed mentally as well. The Bible says that whosoever looketh upon a woman hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It doesn't say that whoever touches a woman inappropriately, that's not what it says. It says, whosoever looketh. That looketh there is speaking in that sexual way, so to speak, here. And that's what the Bible says. You've already committed adultery in your heart. But there's a lot of people who say things like this. Well, you can look, but you can't touch. A lot of people say that. A lot of people live that way. But I'm here to tell you tonight that that is a lie that's straight from the pits of hell. Because the Bible says that whosoever looketh upon a woman hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. You know, as we, as believers, we need the Holy Spirit's power each and every day to guard us from this sin of adultery. As we discuss this sin tonight, it is important for us to realize that there are two sins in the Bible that are that have this nature, so to speak, and it is adultery and it's also fornication. As we look at the Bible in the right context, we will find that they are both sins that are sexual in nature. However, fornication is that sin that is before marriage, and adultery is that sin after a person is married. So, to talk about this sin tonight, I would like us to hear this message as an umbrella, so to speak, over both of those sins, fornication and adultery. Because the truth of the matter is, on both of those fronts, the devil is fighting. On both of those fronts, the devil would like nothing more than to pull you and me into these things. You know, there is not many things that ruin a person's testimony more than the sin of adultery and the sin of fornication. But you know what we see? Across every belief system, we'll call it that, every religion, so to speak, you know, oftentimes it's the hierarchy and they're caught in this sin of adultery. You know why? Because they think no one will ever know. Well, I deserve this. But God knows. God sees everything. And be sure your sins will find you out. See, as we discuss this sin tonight, we're going to be talking about this over the heading of adultery and fornication. I want you to look over in Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32, and we'll get some context on this verse here. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32, we'll read verse 31 as well. It says, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Now, notice in the context of this passage here what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he describes the differences here between adultery and also fornication. Just as Joseph, he could have put Mary away. He could have made her a public example, but we see that he was not willing to do that because he knew that, of course, this child was of the Holy Spirit. He could have put her away because they were espoused to be married, but they were not married. They were engaged, is what we call it today. Of course, back in those times, engagement meant a lot more than it does today. Can I tell you this? That today, there's very little things that carry a lot of weight in people's minds. And marriage is one of those things. It doesn't carry any weight. You know, when people get married, they say, well, I'm going to marry this person because I fell in love with them. And then they say, well, we're getting a divorce because we fell out of love. See, that's what this world says. Truth of the matter is, they don't take things seriously. And there's in these two verses here, we see, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I want you to notice here that these two verses here, a lot of times are taken out of context. And here's why. Because a lot of people will use Matthew 5:31 as grounds for divorcement. They will say, "Well, the Bible says that I can get a divorce. Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." See, it's right there in Scripture. That's what they'll say. But notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says: "It hath been said that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." You know what he's not saying here? He doesn't say Scripture has told you that whosoever put away his wife. No. He's saying this is what's been said. This is what people have been saying. And as we continue down through this passage, we see that with every single truth here that he's talking about. I want you to look at verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Notice verse 38. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you..." Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's saying, you've been taking the words of man over the words of God. And he said, "It hath been said, ye have heard that a man can put away his wife, but I say unto you..." He said, "It hath been said," but then he lets us know the truth that when God speaks, that's final. You see, man is going to change their mind. Man will tell you something one day, and then the very next day, they'll tell you something completely different. But that's not how God operates. You see, God changes not. And the sin of adultery here and the sin of fornication that we're talking about here tonight, of course, fornication is this sin before a person is married, and then the sin of adultery is after. It's what a married person would commit that is this way in nature. So first of all, what is adultery? Second of all tonight, notice the world's downplaying of this sin. The world's downplaying of this sin. I want you to look over in the book of 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 1 through 6. Second Timothy chapter 3, of course, the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, these are letters that the Apostle Paul has written to his son in the faith, Timothy here. And we see as we read through 1 Timothy, we see the truth about the pastor and the deacons and the way that things are to be in the church. And then as we get into 2 Timothy, we see a lot of warnings that come. from the Apostle Paul to young Timothy here, as he is pastoring this church here. And notice 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. And notice what the Bible says here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sin, led away with what? Diverse lust. You see, in each and every one of these sins that we just read about there, each and every one of them were led in all of those sins. How were they led there? By their diverse lust. How is a person drawn in to adultery and fornication? It's through their lust. Through the lust of the eye. I think we would agree that we live in a different world, mentally speaking, than we used to. Mentally speaking, this world has changed. There was a time in life that a normal household was a father and a mother and some children. That was what we would consider normal. And the ones who were out carousing the town, we'll say, they were looked at as the outcast. They were looked at as the ones who had no regard for God. They were looked at as the ones as, well, we don't want our children hanging out with them. We don't want any part of that because of the sin that they were guilty of. They were bad influences on people. There were very few, and I'm not saying that there were none, but there were very few who were guilty of these adulterous and fornication and these affairs and those types of things. There were few that were guilty of those things. There were even fewer of those. Of course, many with fornication, even fewer were guilty of adultery. And I'm not so naive to think that it didn't happen. But what I'm saying here tonight is this: that it happened on a much lower scale than it does today. Dr. Donald Granville, the professor at the University of Texas at Arlington, he surveyed 262 marriage counselors. And I want you to listen to these statistics here. And this is a survey that was done many years ago. But notice the survey said this: 262 marriage counselors. 22% thought marriages are jeopardized when the wife has an affair, while only 2% thought that marriages are in trouble when the husband has an affair. But 40%, notice this statistic, 40% of the counselors that he surveyed admitted that they were guilty of either fornication or adultery. That's the counselors, the ones that were dealing with people who had been a part of this. They were dealing with people that were coming to them for marriage counseling, and 40% of them said, "Well, we've been involved in that as well." You see, this world is so mixed up. They cannot see right from wrong. They are lovers of their own selves, and they've justified their sinful practices. And in this world that we live in, sexual immorality is not condemned one iota, but it's promoted. We see it promoted on billboards. Morality everywhere, and mankind knows that it's wrong. Deep within, they know that it's wrong. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned, he hid himself from God. And why did he hide? He said, "Because I was naked." And God said, "Who told thou that thou wast naked?" Man knows that it's wrong, but it's because of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh that drawn into this sin. But in this world that we live in, can I say this tonight? The shame is gone. There's no blush in this world that we live in. We are living as the ones that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Men with men, women with women, because of the sexual immorality of mankind. You know, there is a Hollywood star that is married, and this Hollywood star describes his marriage this way, and his wife, if you want to call her that, describes their marriage this exact way. We have an open relationship. They said, we can see other people when we want to, but we're still married. That's a marriage today. Why? Because the sin of adultery has been swept under the rug for too long. Because the sin of adultery has not only been found out in the world, but is found even in the house of God. And many people are guilty of it. Notice these statistics here. Pornography website views are at an all-time high. There are billions and billions of dollars every year that are spent on online pornography. And why is that? Because of the lust of the eyes. And I wish I could say that all of those billions of dollars were spent by unbelievers. But that's just not the case. There's men, there's women, there's unbelievers, there's professing believers that are guilty of this. But the world is promoting that. We see the clothing on the rack at the store. We see the way that people are dressed on billboards and commercials. We see that the way that the people walk around with all their body showing and all of these things. And can I say this? Summer is coming and people are already dressing like it. You see, when immodest clothing was rising, it started out as it was only for adult women. And most women would say, I'll never wear that. But that's not the case any longer. You see the same low-cut shirts and mini skirts and all of these things on the rack at the children's store. It's being ingrained into our children. You see, in the past, most people would not wear anything above the knee, including a slit in the skirt or the dress, because they knew that according to the Word of God, anything from the knees up and anything inside the shoulders and down to the knees, they knew that anything showing there was immodest. People knew that. But that's not the case any longer. You see, the further and further down the road we get, the more this world is undressing, you see the sin of adultery and fornication on the rise. Why is that? Because it's all stemmed in the lust of the eye. It's all stemmed in pride. You see, this world has downplayed this sin along with every other sin and is destroying the minds of people. Well, preacher, why is it being promoted? Simply because of the pride of man. You know, and I discussed this back when we went through the clothing series, and we have those messages. If you'd like to hear those, you were not here for those, and you'd like to hear what the Bible says about clothing, we have those. But as we were going through that series there, we were talking about the way that people dress and all of those things, and how the pride of man with people, and how people are undressing because they want to be accepted by others and all of that. But the truth of the matter is, mankind wants people to look at them. Mankind wants the attention. And you know who's going to get the attention of this world? The ones who are wearing the least. You see, the government pushes this for a myriad of reasons. But there's a big reason in which the government pushes this pornography industry. You know, the industry of pornography brings in between $50 and $100 billion a year. Why is this world promoting that? Because of money. You see, which is also stemmed in pride. You see, as we follow all of these things, we realize why people are hooked by this disgusting sin. We see why people are falling into the sin of fornication and the sin of adultery and all of those things simply because it's promoted in front of them. You know, there is people that say, well, I would never marry someone unless I could live with them first. That's what they say. We treat other human beings like cars that you can just trade in when you want them. That's not God's plan for a man and a woman. See, God's plan is one man and one woman for life. That is the plan. God's plan is for each and every one of us as believers to follow Him. But you know what Satan would like us to do? Get our eyes on this world. And he knows how to capture the eyes. And that's of men and of women. Notice also, thirdly here this evening, notice our job as believers. Our job as believers. You know, we all know that this world is evil. This world is promoting sin. And we can either do what many believers have done, or we can throw up our hands and we can say that it's just not worth fighting for. And many believers have found themselves trapped by the sin of adultery or fornication, either by thought or by action. You see, that's what many people have done. Or we as believers can do what we're called to do in the Bible and cry out to God for help. We cannot conquer this on our own. It doesn't matter who you are or how long you've been saved. The truth of the matter is, we need the Holy Spirit's power in every area, but especially in this area of life. Because you can't even drive down the road without Satan trying to pull you into this sin of adultery and fornication. Realizing we need God's help and realizing that, humanly speaking, in this fight, we're fighting a losing battle. Humanly speaking, we're surrounded by evil, and that evil would like nothing more than to pull us in and try to steal our joy and try to steal our testimony and ruin our influence for Christ. We need God's help. And that's each and every one of us. You know, there's people for many years who stood behind a pulpit and sounded forth the Word of God. And then because of one decision, their testimony is gone. And don't think for one second that any of us are immune to that. See, we need God's help. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how long you've been married, you are in danger. And if we think that we're immune to this, then we're wrong, and you're right where Satan wants you to be. So what can we do as believers? We live in this world that has got this everywhere. We live in this world that is promoting these things, and anyone that is against these things is made fun of and says, well, you just have your head in sand and all of those types of things. What can we do? Well, first of all, we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. See, we as believers need to be on guard. Well, how do we do that? By immersing ourselves in the Word of God. And knowing that there's nothing that we can do apart from God. The Bible says that I will hide God's Word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. You see, someone that is communing with God the way that they're supposed to be is someone that realizes that the Word of God is more important than the Word of men. And the closer we are to God, the more the Holy Spirit is going to help us. Because we're communing with God. We need to hide God's Word in our heart. We need to live in the ruling presence of Christ. We as believers, we need to know that Christ is everywhere at all times. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. And there's nothing that is hid from Him. Each and every one of us have things that we need to work on here. Each and every one of us have areas that we need to be on guard in. Women, God sees the way that you dress and the reason you dress that way. If you're dressed immodestly, can I tell you this? It stemmed from a life that is adulterous in thought or action. You know why people dress a certain way? We talked about it, to get the eye of someone. That is adultery in action. And each and every one of us have things that we need to work on. People dress a certain way to get a certain reaction. The same is said with attitude and the manner of life. And one man once said, well, if a person's not for sale, they need to take their sign down. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people today that are walking around as if they are for sale. Lord, help us as believers to not be that way. We are to dress for the glory of God, not for the eyes of men. Men, we need to guard our eyes, because what enters the eye gate is immediately in the thought gate. Immediately. And if you think for one second that looking at a woman in the wrong way isn't hurting anyone, you're wrong, and you've already committed adultery in your heart. You may say, well, no one will ever know. Yeah, David thought the same thing about Bathsheba. You know, when he walked out, you know where David should have been? He should have been on the battlefield. But where was he? He was at home, and he let his men go out to the battlefield. You know what's going to happen? If we stay home from battle, spiritually speaking, Satan's going to steal our heart as well. Each and every one of us need to be on guard. He thought, well, no one will ever know. Well, then Bathsheba comes to him and says, I'm with child. And that sin of adultery that David committed ruined his family and ruined her family and cost her husband his life. But no one will ever know. That's what he said. But be sure that your sins will find you out. If anyone is looking at the opposite sex, men with women or women with men, either way, you are committing adultery with them, because the truth of the matter is, if you are looking at someone, you may say, well, they're not married. No, but someday they probably will be. And if you're looking at them in that way, can I tell you this? You're committing adultery with another man's wife, or adultery with another woman's husband. We need to guard our eyes, men. You see, this is a truth from God's Word, but it's one that a lot of us don't like to look at. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, Satan has a lot of people under this control. Parents here tonight have a short leash on the children, because this world would like nothing more than to steal them away. Any parent would not allow their children to roam in the streets alone. Why? Because we're concerned with our children's safety. But yet there are many parents who let their children roam the streets of the internet, and they're captured by the sin of adultery. And you see that sin that started right there in the heart, that continues on in their life. Their life on down the line is in shambles, simply because there were no guardrails put in place. Simply because someone said, well, my children would never do that. Each and every one of us are in Satan's sights. And he knows that if he can just get us to look, then that's where it starts. Lord, help us. Spouse is here tonight. You should have access to your spouse's devices, to their laptops, the iPad, the computers, and everything else that has a search engine, because Satan, like a roaring lion, he walketh about and he's seeking whom he may devour. Each and every one of us should have parameters in place on all fronts to protect us, because we are not immune to this. You may say, well, my spouse just needs to trust me. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Each and every one of us need parameters in place. We must guard our hearts as well. We must guard our eyes. We must guard our actions. I want you to look over at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse 7 here. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Notice it says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. If a man thinks, or a woman thinks, in an adulterous way, they're already an adulteress. If a person thinks and looks at another person in a immoral way, they're guilty of that fornication. See, it's a simple truth tonight, but it's a truth that many people have disregarded. We must guard our action, because what we do and how we act and how we dress and how we live, it can be a stumbling block to another. Romans 14:13 talks about how we should not be a stumbling block. I'll turn over there very quickly here. Romans 14:13. Notice it says this: let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know what I've heard people say before? I've heard people say this: well, it doesn't matter how I dress, they just need to look somewhere else, they said. You know, they have no idea what to do with this verse then. And it talks about being a stumbling block and how we should not be a stumbling block to another. The truth of the matter is that we need to dress and act like a follower of Christ. We are not to be the reason that another falls. We are to be the ones who are encouraging one another. But because of our sin of mental, physical, sexual immorality, we are becoming stumbling blocks for others. And unfortunately, many believers are the reason for other believers falling. Lord, help us all. Help us to guard ourselves against this sin. I don't know what your current situation is. I don't know what the Lord is doing in your life. I don't know the thoughts that you struggle with, or the sins running rampant in your life. I don't know the things that you're allowing on the screen of your cell phone, on the screen of your laptop, and all of those things. And it doesn't matter how many times the search engine is cleared. It doesn't matter how many times we think that we can hit erase all history. God sees those things. And each and every one of us need to be aware of that. God knows everything. And God cares for us tonight. Why did He give us this warning? Why did He give us this commandment tonight? Why did He make sure that this was pinned in the Word of God? Because He knows that it's something that each and every person would struggle with because of the pull of the devil. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's many people who are inactive for Christ because of this sin. Don't let that be said about you. You cannot do it in your own power. I can't do it in my own power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. God knows everything. God desires to do a work in our lives. We have to be willing to be different. We have to be willing to say, I'm not going to that website because of certain things that may pop up. Well, the website itself isn't bad, no, but there's certain things on there that are. Be careful. Be careful.